Okay, we'll get back in Galatians. In chapter 5, verse 21, where we left off before, and we got on to revelings last week. I don't know if I actually finished that lately, but Paul again here is God's sovereign. He works His perfect will. His divine decrees we sang about. But we still have to do the work, you see. And it's like Paul here in chapter 5 was warning against the works of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. And they're there. And they're things that, you know, we struggle against. God gives grace to His people. And by His grace they overcome. But there are things you have to do the work. And as Paul hit all these specifics, beginning with all manner of what we would call sexual sins, which are so prominent in our day, and I guess to some degree in every day, you know, man is a sensual being, to be drawn off by those things, and we need to keep those in mind and trust in Him. It's only by His grace. And then Paul spoke of such things as idolatry and witchcrafts, heresies, murders, drunkenness. And then he ends the warnings with the matter of, he says, revelings and such like. It's like kind of big umbrella to catch anything he missed. And there's plenty of those things that man tends to be drawn away from. That word revelings can specifically even include such things as we mentioned, lascivious singing. Beware your ear gates and the kind of stuff you listen to. And they were bad enough in my day and age, you know. And, you know, even rock and roll, that's a euphemism for the sexual act, is what that really was. But compared to what goes on today, like I say, thankfully I can't understand any of it, even if I happen to hear it. But I'm afraid that the kids do. And then I think I finished off last week talking about those things that even come to mind, those vulgar songs and cadences of our days in the military. Military is pretty much corrupting to young Christian people, really. The American military, the giant standing army military machine. And as I often say, get people upset, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be imperial stormtroopers for the evil American empire. It's corrupt and it's corrupting. I can say about the same things, politics, too. You know, I worry about folks, even promoting folks, you know, getting into politics, because knowing 99.9% of the time, they're going to be corrupted. That's just part of what happens. So it's not only corrupt, it's corrupting to them and to those that promote it. Brother Gill said, and I don't remember exactly where I left off. I'm sorry. Brother Gill said, so the apostle shuts up the account. It being too tedious to give an enumeration of all the works of the flesh, nor was it necessary. Judgment may be made of the rest by these, nor might it be so proper, since the carnal heart is but more pleased with and irritated by the mention of evil things. You know, we could be all spiritual and trying to deal with the evil and be drawn into it. You know, there's that danger. You know, television, movies, virtually everything that's out there in the entertainment media today, everything that's out there in the news media. And there's just better things for the Christians to do. I get I've hardly arrived, but I get so sick of this sin-cursed world. And again, the spirit within is offended. Lord, prayed, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And that's very true for the Christian. Paul says, let us walk honestly. I think that's where I finished off, actually. Let us walk honestly, as in the day. Let's walk honestly. Not in rioting or drunkenness. Not in chamberings or wantonness. Not in strife and envying. Walking honestly. Manifesting what we truly are, what we profess to be. In Ephesians, Paul uses the word circumspectly. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That's, thinking. Carefully. Thoughtfully. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly. And again, that word walk in Scripture is not talking about, how we put one foot in front of the other. Walk speaks of our manner of life. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. A lot of foolishness out there. A lot of foolishness out there in Christian circles. The things they do to promote, supposedly evangelism. And Spurgeon talked about turning the church into a circus. And it won't be very long before you have clowns in the pulpit. And that's exactly what goes on. And I've seen in churches that profess to be Baptists, pies in the preacher's face. There were probably $5 bills back in my day, but they tape $10 bills under the bus seats, to get kids to pack into the bus. We had one youth minister that for the bus that had the biggest turnout, he'd show up there and swallow a goldfish, right? You saw that one in the Bible. No, it was the other way around. Jonah got swallowed by the fish. But not as fools, but as wise. We need to be careful. Paul says, continuing there in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I try to be cognizant of that, and yet I know I waste so much time. Diddle away on things that mean absolutely nothing. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Already evil. You've got to redeem it back. He says, wherefore, be ye not unwise. And that kind of fits in with walking circumspectly, thoughtfully. Therefore, be not ye unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Avoid the mindless, the useless, the worthless. And then it gets just worse from there, the sensual, the perverted. I won't get into a whole lot of specifics there because I know. If I try to get into specifics, I probably could hit all of yours, but I probably missed some of mine. But that's the way it is. That's why the Lord gave us wives. And I don't mean that totally facetiously. I'd be a whole lot worse person if it weren't for that woman back there. I guarantee you that. And Paul uses that word again, circumspectly, redeeming the time. And he tells us, knowing and understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do you know the will of the Lord? Well, as I often say, it's not rocket surgery. You know, he's revealed right here. It works out in our life. You know, we know his will first by Scripture, and second by asking, by praying, to seeking to walk in his way, seeking his guidance, seeking his direction. Saw a quote this last week from Brother Gadsby, Gadsby's hymnal, an old school Baptist preacher. Just talked about, nobody really knows the power and what's accomplished, you know, when the saint, in the midst of his daily dealings and troubles, just cries out, "Lord, help me." You ever get there? Yeah, "Lord, help me. I'm weak. I don't understand, but Lord, help me." So, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And he's revealed things to Paul's here writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. We know these things as the will of God. You say, "Well, how do you know about it?" Well, because it says it right there. That's how I know. Beware of those, you know, that say, "Well, God told me this and God told me that." Well, okay, show me. Well, I mean, God guides in our lives and he directs, but he always guides and directs us in accordance with his revealed will. And to know his will, Colossians, Paul says, "And whatsoever ye do, do heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus." Whatsoever ye do, do heartily as to the Lord. You know, I try to ask myself, oh, whatever I'm doing here, whatever I'm becoming involved in, whatever I'm, can I do this heartily as unto the Lord? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, can I go out and get drunk heartily as unto the Lord? Yeah, I don't think you can do that. I think anybody can answer that. Being involved in illicit relationships, being, you know, watching pornography or its cousin that you see in commercials on the news anymore. Can you do that heartily as to the Lord? You know, that's the thing that try to cultivate in your own mind and heart. And it's difficult, I understand that. We're in the world, we're not to be of the world. Those things are there. You can't guard against every one of them, but do it as heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul uses that word inheritance there. And as we continue on in the verse that we're looking at here, Paul says, "As I've told you in time past," let me go back to let me read the whole verse. "Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And Paul there in that verse we just read spoke of the saints' inheritance. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Children receive the inheritance. Children inherit. Those who do such things here, Paul says, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God because they're not children. It's manifested that they're not. Whether they inherit or don't inherit is not because of what they did and what they didn't do. Where do you get an inheritance from? It comes to the children. I mean, you don't earn an inheritance. I mean, people may use that kind of speech, but that's not really what an inheritance is. It's something that's bestowed on you as a child, as belonging to the family. Those that do such things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're manifesting themselves that they're not the children of God, even though people say, well, you know, I walked an aisle one day, and, well, it never made any difference, but I prayed that. I said those words they told me to say. And then we say, okay, well, you're going to heaven then. Say what? And I'm going to get on, as I get on here a little bit, talking about the assurance, because Paul talks about the inheritance. Our assurance doesn't come because of something we did. And a lot of Baptists get caught up in this. Can you remember a time and a place that you made a decision? And if you can do that, then you're going to heaven. Really? That's not what the Apostle John told us. You know, our assurance comes from the life that the Lord works in us. And Paul's going to get in here to the fruit of the Spirit. It comes by the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Not to get too far ahead of myself, but again, fruit is born by the tree. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of the flesh. It's not the fruit of... It's what the Spirit has wrought. It comes from a seed. And the seed is the Spirit. It's not human nature. Inclination. Paul says, of which I tell you, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we're children, we will inherit. And if we're children, we will be manifested as such. It will be shown. And basically, the truth is from Scripture, and from John, and from Paul, and from all the others who wrote, if you claim to be a child and you don't behave as one, you have no right to that claim. Again, it's not by your works, but your works manifest what God has wrought in there. Brother Gill said this. He said, they that do such works of the flesh, as before enumerated all those things we talked about previously, that is, that live in the commission of these things, whose whole lives are employed in such work, living and dying in such a state without repentance towards God and faith in Christ, shall never enjoy eternal life and happiness. Though such who as have done these things, being brought to a sense of them, and to the blood and righteousness of Christ for pardon and justification, for life and salvation, such, notwithstanding the works of the flesh done by them, shall through the free grace of God and the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ inherit the kingdom and the glory of God. God brings those that are His to Himself. He brings them to repentance. He brings them to faith. No, we're not perfect in this life. You know, folks like David fell into some pretty gross sin. But then we read in David, as he lamented that sin, and as he repented of that sin, David was a man that, after God's own heart, Scriptures tell us. And yet, that a Christian may trip, may stumble, but he won't live that way. He won't be manifested that way. He won't continue in that way, as Brother Gill says, living and dying in such a state. And I can't look at a man's heart. You know, generally, people die just like they lived. And it's often been said about, And again, we know that it's all of grace, it's all of God. I look at the thief on the cross. You know, when did he get baptized? Well, yeah, no. When did he do all these good works? Yeah, well, no. It's all by the grace of God. But God did a work. Here's a man on a cross. He's dying. And he looks to Christ. He recognized by the Spirit of God who that was. He said, Lord, remember me. He said, I tell you this day, you'll be with me in paradise. And it's been said and been noted, there's one deathbed conversion in Scripture. That's the thief on the cross. There's one that you might not despair. And there's only one that you might not presume. You know, folks that think, well, I'm... Of course, people had twisted versions of Christianity and such. Supposedly Constantine, these folks that believed in baptismal regeneration, had put off his baptism until he was near death because he wanted to get all sins washed away by the magic water. And people have these kind of concepts. No, it's by the grace of God. And folks generally die like they lived. Yeah, people have hopes of, you know, I remember early in my ministry, some fellow was in a terrible car wreck, I think it was. And the family called, and I ended up going up to Miami, and they, you know, and tried to talk to him at the bed, but, I mean, he was unconscious as far as I could tell. The mom's like, I think I saw him respond. I think, yeah, well, I know she wanted to. Generally, people, and I didn't really understand everything I do now. I tried to say, you know, believe and do this. Well, I don't know. The Lord knows that. I don't know. I was there for some reason. Could have been. But generally, folks have all this reliance on deathbed repentance, deathbed, and live like the devil all your life. There's at least one instance that we see in the Scripture. But Paul warns, listen, those who do that as a manner of life, they're not going to be inheriting the kingdom. And again, inheritance has to do with being a child. And being a child has to do with those for whom Christ died. And with that being manifested. Again, we're a child. We're a child by the grace of God. We're a child... chosen in Christ. Christ came because, the Scripture says, because of the children. Not to make, because the children partook of flesh and blood. Christ partook of flesh and blood. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. People don't seem to know what that means anymore. We had a neighbor in South Florida, and he had his young daughter living with and an older man that lived with her in the house. And I forgot how it came up. I mean, there was something else behind, and I wouldn't have just went over there and. But anyway, it says something about fornication. Well, that really set him off. Well, that's fornication. An unmarried woman and an unmarried man, and who's a father, it's allowing that to go take place under his house, under his roof. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And much of the same things Paul already told us here in Galatians. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. All this is embraced in much of churchianity today. Very little to nothing said of it. nor effeminate. I wonder what that could mean. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Well, in this day and age, anybody that's got two brain cells to rub together knows what that's talking about and what that means. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's not because of what they did, it's because of whether they're children or not. And whether they're children or not is manifested by what God brings. They live like children. Again, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. We're born because of our relationship to Adam. But God gives life to those that are His. The Lord said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. Neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul writes to these saints in Corinth, and he says this, and such were some of you. And there's the hope. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. No different than the rest of lost mankind before God quickens His elect, brings them to Himself, reveals them to be children, which they were, but they didn't know it. Nobody else did. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. My assurance, my peace, my hope is not living a perfect life, and we're going to talk a little bit how John talks about those things. It's in God. And such were some of you. I have the evidences. I have the Spirit. And yet my life attests to those things, but that's not what accomplishes it. I have an inheritance because I'm a child. Paul wrote to young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, 2 Timothy 2:19. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You can trust God. He's going to accomplish His will. He's going to accomplish His decree. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows His children. He not wondering if they are or not. Christ came to find the lost sheep. Again, if you read His whole ministry with his enemies, His detractors, He didn't come to make sheep. Or said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. Well, even before they believed, they either were or were not His sheep. You and I don't know that. But He does. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And then Paul goes on to say, again, you trust God. You rest in God. But you, by His grace, have to live the life, have to do the work. He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those are His. He knows those are children. But Paul says, and let every one of you that knows the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't say, because I think that tends to manifest some who truly are children, say, well, I'm a child, so I can live any way I want to live. I can live like the devil. It doesn't make any difference. I've actually heard Christians say that. Really? Or professed Christians. Any assurance of sonship, any assurance of being a child, comes from the testimony of the Spirit of God and by the life that He works in us. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those that are led, and Paul's going to speak here about the fruit of the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Again, these are things we've received. You've received the spirit again to fear, but you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word adoption in Scripture isn't exactly, you know, what we kind of consider adoption today. Adoption speaks of the revealing, the placing and standing. And Paul talked about that in Galatians. We talked about that, where we take our place as a child, where we're revealed as a child. And so that spirit of adoption, when we're revealed, we take our place as an adult child. Earlier, Paul said, you know, before that's revealed, you live just like the rest of them. You're no different than a servant, or you don't appear to be. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we receive the Spirit, and by that Spirit we cry, Abba, Father, because He is our Father. Abba. You know, that Aramaic word. I'm not sure. Some people like to say it's like saying daddy. Well, that doesn't sound right to me, but it is a word of affection towards your father. We cry Abba, Father. Doesn't say we cry Abba, Father, and therefore we receive the spirit of adoption. No, because we've received the Spirit, we cry Abba, Father. And then he says this. I think I'll leave off there and we'll talk a little bit about what John says next week. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So how do you know? The Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am the child of God. And then as Paul was speaking here, you know, it's manifested in our life that we don't want to live like the world. We don't want to walk in that way. John says in 1 John 4 and verse 13, and we'll look at more of it next week. He says, hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And Paul's going to talk here about the fruit of the Spirit. How do we know He's given us the Spirit? It's not just a warm fuzzy. You might wake up with a severe bellyache in the morning and say, well, I ain't saved anymore. I feel bad. No, that's not what it's about. The Spirit itself beareth witness. Show something. Speak something. Manifest something. And Paul's going to get here in verse 22 where he says, but the fruit of the Spirit These things that God brings forth in our lives are the testimony that we are His children. I'm thankful for the fruit of the Spirit. I'm thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And even when I don't feel good, or when I got a headache, or when I'm tired, I'm still His child. And the children are the ones who receive the inheritance. And I don't, some folks think, well, people who believe that way, you all think you're special and you're prideful. Just the opposite. It's nothing of me. I didn't deserve any of it. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the credit. Folks say, well, those Calvinists, they're all full of pride. Well, maybe some of them are. I don't know. I don't even like John Calvin, but I understand what they mean when they use that term. But I know nothing. It just humbles me. There was another, I think it was a hymn writer, somebody I read this week that just talked about, you know, after you've lived with God, walked with God for 40 years, you have a whole lot lower opinion of yourself than you did before. And I think, again, that manifests as we grow in Christ. You know, we realize our shortcomings, our failures, and His grace, as opposed to being prideful and boastful. And I pray the Lord keep us from that. You pray He keep me from that. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. When the Battle's Over, number 26. When the Battle's Over. Number 26, and you can stand if you like.
Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the Jerusalem.
So everybody wants a crown, a bunch of crowns on your head so you can walk around with your chest all stuck out. You know what's going to happen to those crowns? What's it say in the scriptures? We're going to cast them at the feet of Christ. Because they're all by His grace. They're all because of His provision, what He's wrought in us. But say, well, then you shouldn't want a crown. I think you should. You should want to live a righteous life unto Him, that you might have something to... Now, He doesn't need it, but He allows us to participate in it. And we will cast our crowns at His feet. What a thought that is. What a thought that is. Father, we thank You for this day, for each one that's here. Lord, for the time You've brought us to, for the battles that we endure, Lord, internal in our own lives and external against the wicked world. Father, help us to trust as we ought, to be manifest to others and to ourselves. That we are indeed children, Lord, because of what You bring forth in our lives. Lord, help us to fight the battle, to endure the struggle, to be used of Thee. Lord, may we all be able to cast crowns at the feet of Christ, for He is worthy and He alone. Lord, thank You for Your eternal love for Your people, for the salvation that You wrought in Christ. Pray, Lord, for our friends and brethren that need healing and comfort. Give us the strength to endure. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.